That being said, we do have several missing today, and we pray God's blessing on them, wherever they might be. Afterwards, even Renee says if there's one youth, one, she is going to have our little music thing, and we're going to break through this. It's not a glass ceiling, it's a youth ceiling. We're going to come through that, and so I know there's several that are gone here, and they're in Bozeman, they're doing this, but those that are here, God bless you, we will start. We will. A trip of 1,000 miles begins how? Where's my stickers? Yeah, I know where my stickers are. They're right there. I even brought them. It begins with one step. You have to start. You have to take it. John chapter 11. Thank you to the media people that are standing at attention. Is that you, Levi? No, it's okay. Am I on? Is this thing on? Interesting when you know that you're not just speaking to the people here, but you're speaking to people you don't know, you don't see. And I've thought about that an awful lot, how I should modify this, that, and the other thing. Anybody ever misspoke anything you'd like to have back? You meant to say this, but you said that. You meant to say it this way, but it came out this way. Well, yes. As it goes around the world, we have lots to think about what we say. John chapter 11, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from this town called Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters, they sent word to Jesus. Lord, the one who you love is sick. Interesting way of communicating. Angling Jesus by two women. Everybody see that? Not just somebody is sick, the one you know that you really love, that you know, you love. He is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Many sermons in my life, which has been spent in church just like you, have heard about Lazarus. Mary, Martha, Jesus. But can I just point you to Lazarus right now? Lazarus is sick. He's sick unto death. And Jesus hears about it. His sisters angle Jesus to come. We know you can do something about it. But Jesus decides to wait 2 days. He hears that he's sick unto death. He hears that one who's really important to him, but he delays 2 days so that the Son of God might be glorified. But Lazarus says, "Hey, that's good for God and the Son of God. I'm dying here. I'm actually dying here." You ever experienced knowing that Jesus could step in your life and he could change things? He could help things. He could save you. He could deliver you. He could heal you. He could direct you. And he does not. Oh, and I suppose it passes. We work through it. But this does not pass for Lazarus. He gets sicker and sicker and sicker. And Jesus allows it to happen. Until the point that he dies to the point of decay. And you say that as a theologian because you're trying to say, no, he just didn't pass out. He died. Later, when Jesus came to the tomb, Jesus said some things, and one of the sisters said, no, don't do that. I was in there recently. Don't do that. Why? Because he's decayed. That happens as a result of death. I've liked these words, understood and overheard. I like the play on the words. I guess I have nothing better to do. In this case, it's understood and overrated. In case you missed the message this morning, many things in life we will never understand. And our very heart, soul, and spirit aches to understand it. We want to understand it. And there will, turn me down just a little bit real, there so I can shout. There will be many things in life you will not understand. But I got to understand it. No, you don't. Philippians 4:7, you don't have to turn there. Essentially, Scripture says there is a peace that passes, the verb there is, it passes like on a freeway. There is a peace that surpasses understanding. There is a peace that God gives when you don't understand, when you can't understand, and when you may never understand. There is yet a peace that is very important to us. Not so that you walk around in a comatose like, hey man, I'm at peace. It's because your soul, your spirit, your mind, everything is under control. When you're at peace, you're able to function. God help us to mature to the place in our soul where we are at peace walking in confidence, whether we have things figured out or not. Peace because we've placed our lives in God's hands. God, help us that we can mature to be at peace, whether we've figured it out or not. Not sure what's going on in your life? Great time for the prayer language. Oh, we're back to that, are we? Yes, we're back to that. You can pray in English, and I do, and you do. There is still a wonderful release when we can pray in a prayer language. We know something's wrong. We know something's up. We know something's going on. We can't put it into words, but our spirit longs to pray to God. And so we wait to find the words, but we can't find the words, so we don't pray. And yet, God has given us a language. Matt was kidding me about all the trips I've been taking. I know, and I blame that on my mother. And if you're watching, Mother, God bless you. 3 weeks turned into 5 days. She said, I've had it with this Montana, even though she spent her life here and grew up in Forsyth. Had to come back on the coldest winter in 100 years. Had to be in Great Falls on the coldest 4th, March 4th. Wiped out everybody. Harry's party. I got home. My mom's all ready to go. I said, Mom, there is no party. There is no party. Nope. Not yet. There are roads you can drive with a cruise control on, and there's roads you should not. Would you agree with that, Mrs. Goodman? Yes. They'd even say in Washington, please do not put your cruise control on. It may be icy. There's a split second there or something that while you're thinking about it, the car just keeps going. So like the car should know you meant to slow down, but it keeps going. There is a cruise control in prayer that keeps praying even though you've backed off. And it's called your prayer language. A prayer language. It cruises right along. He cruises right along in your spirit. He prays. Your mind says, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I've just... But the Holy Spirit prays on through. That is in part how that peace and nature of Christ can be strengthened in your life. You can pray, obviously, not in the prayer language, but there is a tremendous release when you take your hands off the wheel and you take your foot off the pedal and you begin to let the Holy Spirit pray within you. And all the charismatics in here should say, and they should say it just a little louder. Whew! God is never surprised by what's happening with you. If I've learned anything, which I've learned very little in my life, God is never surprised what's happening with me. Who's surprised? I am surprised. And people are, I'm surprised at him. You ever heard that? Oh, or her. I'm just surprised. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked, surprised, verkleft. I'm all of those things. The one who is never surprised is God, and it's taken me 40-some years. Now, that's a joke. Taken me a long time to realize, well, God, you knew this a long time ago, didn't you? Yes, from the beginning of time, I knew it, and I knew you, and I knew what you were going to think, say, and do. God's never surprised at what's happening with us. In some cases, I believe, no lightning, please, I do believe that God is behind some of the things that happens in our life. He can cause things. He can step back and let other things happen that bring situations to your life and to my life that he knows is going to position you for change. John, our third epistle of John, you don't need to turn to it, first chapter, second verse. I would that you prosper and be in health. Who says I'm not a prosperity preacher? I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul is in health. Amen. I would too. How many of you think prospering is okay? It is. Someday I'm going to land on this subject, prosperity. Well, I guess I am a little bit this morning. Prosperity is part of the path of every believer who walks in the Word and in the way of the Word. Prosperity is part of the path. It is not the destination. What? Your prosperity is part of the inheritance of God. It's not the destination of our walk with Christ. If we were to get one of these, I always have trouble with them. What are they? What am I doing here? Pyramid. The pyramid. Okay, a sticker for somebody here. What's on top of God's pyramid? Say, well, I don't believe in the pyramids. I'm just trying to illustrate for you. What's at the very top of God's pyramid? Your car, your house, your stuff, your image, your glow, your kids' glow, your kids' kids' glow. They have their place, but at the very top of the pyramid, it's not prosperity, it's the personhood of Jesus Christ. It's the character of Christ. That's where God is taking us to. You and I may experience prosperity on the way, and we pray that we do, but that's not the goal. The goal is that there be a substantial change in our life so that His character replaces our character. Mark chapter 10, guy who had it down, he had done everything, one percenter. It doesn't say so, but my guess is he was good look, fashionable, intelligent, had his act together, even knew enough that when he approached Jesus, he slid in on his knees.